Penguin Random House Audio presents The Great Beanie Baby Bubble, Mass Delusion and the Dark Side of Cute by Zach Bissonette. Read for you by PJ Oakland. Introduction. The greatest toy salesman in the world looked out at his 250 employees gathered for the Thai Inc. holiday party.
Wow! 54-year-old Ty Warner said. I've never been in a room with so many millionaires.
The salespeople cheered because it wasn't an exaggeration. It was December 12, 1998, and Ty Inc. was 3 weeks away from closing out a year of sales that would break nearly every record in the annals of the toy industry. Andy Van Gilder was seated in the back with a relative she'd hired to answer the phones that hadn't stopped ringing with orders for Beanie Babies in close to 3 years. She thought about it. In 1993, she'd made less than $30,000 lugging trunks of porcelain figurines and collector plates to stores in two states. In 1998, selling Beanie Babies to independently owned toy and gift shops in Chicago's northern suburbs had paid her more than $800,000 in commissions. She was 30 years old. Life was perfect. The applause died down. Ty made the announcement he'd been planning for weeks. He would be giving all his employees Christmas bonuses equal to their annual salaries. Pandemonium ensued. Ty was their god, Faith McGowan, Ty's then-girlfriend, remembers. He basked in the adulation of the workers who, in the span of 3 years, had helped make him the richest man in the American toy industry. His annual sales for 1998 had surpassed $1.4 billion, virtually all of it coming from the $2.50 wholesale price on beanbag animals that frenzied speculators had turned into a craze that was the 20th century American version of the tulip bubble in 1630s Holland. Ty had created the toys in 1993 in the hope that they would be popular among children. But they had become so much more than that. And they had also become so much less than that, because most collectors, aware of the soaring values for the rarest styles, wouldn't let their children anywhere near them. Humorist Dave Barry explained the mania in a 1998 column. Beanie Babies were originally intended as fun playthings for children, but as the old saying goes, whenever you have something intended as innocent fun for children, you can count on adults to turn it into an obsessive, grotesquely over-commercialized hobby with the same whimsy content as the Bataan Death March. The first buyers had been children with allowances. Then their moms had started collecting. By the time of the 1998 Thai Christmas party, Van Gilder remembers, it was mostly creepy, belligerent men she saw lined up when she dropped in to check on retailers. The little animals with names like Seaweed the Otter and Gigi the Poodle had become, as Van Gilder puts it, something really cute that just brought out the worst in people. The worst in people was inspired by a popular belief that Beanie Babies were a long-term investment. A self-published author sold more than 3 million copies of a book that touted 10-year predictions for their values. The magazine Mary Beth's Beanie World, started by a self-described soccer mom, reached 1 million copies in paid monthly circulation. In it, a full-page, full-color ad for Smart Heart Tag Protectors led with this headline: How do you protect an investment that increases by 8,400%? The answer was to buy hard-shell lockets in which to encase the animal's heart-shaped paper tags that read, Safety Precaution. Please remove all swing tags before giving this item to a child. More than any other consumer good in history, Beanie Babies were carried to the height of success by a collective dream that their values would always rise. Warner's announcement of bonuses wasn't his only gift to his employees at the Christmas party. He also presented them with Number One Bear, a signed and numbered red Beanie Baby with the number one stitched onto the chest.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?